mostly religious people, have misunderstood those who speak in tongues. What is this strange manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and who called us to discover its power? Join John Osteen and find out exactly where the blame should go. Speaking in tongues? Blame Jesus. Once again, John Osteen is challenging you to a new dimension in your Christian faith. The John Osteen program is closed captioned for the hearing impaired.
In this hurting world, we all need answers. Though the world is constantly changing, God's wisdom is the constant solution. I'm John Osteen, pastor of Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. We're a family church made up of people of all denominations, races, and walks of life. We've dedicated our lives to bringing the compassion of Jesus Christ into every person's world. And after many years, we've developed a reputation for helping those who have been overcome to be overcomers. Your dreams and desires are important to God and to us. We want God's best for you. Join with me the next 30 minutes and discover the life-changing power of God's Word.
For over 54 years, John Osteen has touched the lives of individuals around the world. Founder and pastor of Lakewood Church, an international training center, teaching people to use God's Word to overcome life's everyday challenges. A local church with a worldwide vision, Lakewood is dedicated to helping hurting people in America and in over 100 nations of the world. Don't miss the next 30 minutes with Pastor John and Dodie Osteen at the Oasis of Love, a place where miracles happen and lives are changed.
We're so glad you tuned in today. We don't take it for granted. We're glad we're able to feed the Word of God to thousands upon thousands of people here in Houston and around the world.
Amen. And here's a scripture that'll help people, not only here in the Oasis of Love, but those who are watching us by television. Sometimes people disappoint us. We read things and people, we read about people and we're disappointed. Our husbands disappoint us, our children, our families sometimes. And you just read all kind of things about people and you say, well, why did they do that? But listen, for the scriptures tell us that no one who believes in Christ will ever be disappointed in him. Now, Jesus will never disappoint you. People will. People will do things that will make you feel bad and you'll be so disappointed in them. But Jesus will never do that to you. He will never disappoint you because he is not a God that would lie. He's not a man that would lie. And he will be your true friend forever without ever disappointing you.
Amen. And I want to say a real welcome to everyone who's tuned in, wherever you are in the world, wherever you watch this. We're so glad. We're just a group of people from all denominations and out of no church at all who have found Jesus. And we want to share the joy of knowing him, because he's done so much for us. He can give you peace, eternal life, and the joy and fulfillment that you need. Everybody give them a good amen.
Amen.
Let's hold up our Bibles and make our confession. Everybody say it. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Now shout it out. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm reading out of the book of Mark, chapter 16, Jesus has arisen from the dead, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Could I have an amen?
Amen.
Then the scripture in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and Jesus, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized in the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Verse 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received from the promise the Father of the Holy Ghost, he, Jesus, has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Could I have an amen?
Amen.
You know, the Word of God is so clear about these subjects that we've read. I'm starting a series of messages, four messages, on this subject, speaking in tongues, blame Jesus. You know, the message of speaking in tongues is a fascinating subject. It is a very disturbing subject to many in the denominational world. They argue and they fuss about this matter of speaking in tongues. They say, well, you know, stay away from those Pentecostals. Don't blame the Pentecostals. They didn't start this. Blame Jesus. They say, well, now we're getting all in a dither. Don't be sure none of you folks get mixed up with charismatics. Friends, don't blame the charismatics. They didn't start this. Blame Jesus. Well, I don't want anybody in my church speaking in tongues. Isn't that strange? When the Bible said, forbid not to speak in tongues. I don't want anybody speaking in tongues in our church. Isn't that strange? When Mary, the Blessed Virgin, spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Isn't that strange when Peter, James, and John, and all the great believers in the New Testament there, in the book of Acts, spoke in other tongues, and yet today, don't speak in tongues, don't blame the Pentecostals or the Charismatics, blame Jesus.
Amen.
You know, do you realize that the first person in the New Testament to mention speaking in tongues was the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
It didn't get hatched up by Charismatics. It didn't get hatched up by Pentecostals. No, the first mention of speaking in the unknown tongues and the glossolalia was the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, these signs shall follow the Pentecostals. These signs shall follow the Charismatics. No, Jesus looked at all who would ever believe in him, and from the lips of the Son of the living God, the alive from the dead, the mighty, glorious head of the church, he says, believers shall speak in other tongues.
Amen.
Don't blame Lakewood Church. Don't blame the Pentecostals. Don't blame Charismatics. Blame Jesus.
Amen.
I said, blame Jesus. He's the one that started all this. Says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one place and one accord. And suddenly they had a sound from heaven. They all were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem until you get the baptism in the Holy Ghost. You will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's from the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
He is the head of the church. It's so sad today that people arm their denominations, rise up and put bars and threaten, you know, to put people out if they speak in tongues, when it is a biblical thing. All through the book of Acts, when they received the baptism in the Holy Ghost, they spoke in other tongues. One day Paul said, why should it be thought incredible to you that God would raise the dead? Oh, why should it be thought incredible to you that Almighty God, who made all languages, couldn't give us another supernatural language to worship him with?
Amen.
You know, when I received the baptism in the Holy Ghost, and I was pastor of the Baptist down the street, you know, I was so filled with joy. And, you know, God was blessing people and healing people. And the church was packed out. But my denomination, God bless them, I love them. I never did want to leave them. I wanted to stay there, but they put me on trial for heresy. I was on trial not for murder, not for adultery, not for stealing the money, but for acting like Jesus told me to act. My God in heaven, help us. Sound the saddest note, Gabriel, on your trumpet, and put the flag of heaven at half-mast in the darkest hour of history when the devil is making supernatural signs. We're ashamed of what the head of the church wants us to have. One of the lawyers in our congregation gave me the preface to the book of Acts written by J.B. Phillips. J.B. Phillips translated the New Testament, and he was an Anglican. Everybody say Anglican. That's the Church of England. I think he later became a bishop. Now here he is in a denomination that is far from what he's talking about. I want you to listen to the words of a very profound man who is an Anglican talking about his translating the book of Acts. It is impossible to spend several months in the study of the book of Acts, this remarkable book, conventionally known as the Acts of the Apostles, without being profoundly stirred and disturbed. The reader is stirred because he is seeing Christianity, the real thing, in action for the first time in human history. The newborn church, as vulnerable as any human child, having neither money, influence, nor power in the ordinary sense, is setting forth joyfully and courageously to win the pagan world for God through Christ. The young church, like all young creatures, is appealing in its simplicity, single-heartedness, and here we see the church in its first youth, so unspoiled, ordinary men and women turning the world upside down. You cannot help but feeling disturbed as this study in the church, as it was meant to be. It is vigorous and flexible, for these are the days before it ever became fat and short of breath through prosperity and muscle bound by over-organization. That's an Anglican talking. And then he goes on to say this. He said, when we turn from these sacred pages with all of its power and simplicity in the Holy Ghost and read theological treatises today, it makes us weep. Tears of sadness. What's he saying? He's saying that we need to get back to what the Word of God says. Oh, how I need to stir preachers up today. You know, every one of us can sense a need for divine power. And that divine power comes when we're not ashamed of speaking in other tongues. You know, there was a real wealthy woman that came to this church, and a real socialite, and we heard later that she said, I'm not going back to that church. I'm not going back to that church because they're common people. Common people. You know, I got real sad and bowed my head, and I heard Jesus say, son, don't be discouraged. The common people heard me gladly. And you know, we need to not be ashamed of speaking in tongues because Jesus is to blame. Every preacher listening to me across the land, you have a choice to make, a choice to make. Oh, I knew I had to pay a price. I had to pay a price. I had to lose my so-called ministry. I had to step out in uncharted places. I knew that, but I'll tell you, heaven is too real, hell is too hot, time is too short, and eternity is too long for me to please men. We must please God. We must not deny the power of the living God. Oh, we're today so ashamed of speaking in tongues. It's our pride. It's our pride. You have a choice. Come out speaking in tongues. Come out with the power of the Holy Ghost. Come out and be like they were in the book of Acts. Or you can slink back into the shadows and stay in your security and not please the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's so safe back here. Let's don't get mixed up with all of that. Jesus said, he that has no sword, let him sell his cloak and buy one. The sword is the Word of God. The cloak is our comfortable sense of feeling. Oh, sell your cloak and buy a sword. Get a Bible, start reading it and obeying it. But you say the cloak is so comfortable. It's so stylish. I will be accepted by man if I have this cloak on. It's so honorable. It's so good. It's so warm. It's so comforting. Jesus said, sell your cloak and buy a Bible. Away with this idea of security. Our only security is in God. It says they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. There's a band of people today who love the praise of God more than the praise of men. Amen. We need to realize that speaking in tongues is of great controversy today. But don't blame the Pentecostals. Don't blame the charismatics. Blame the Lord Jesus Christ. And dare to step out in this group that's hated and despised and looked down upon, but have joy and peace and happiness. I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Hallelujah. Listen to this little thing that I brought here to read to you. Everybody wants to stay on the beaten path. Everybody wants to please Dr. So-and-so. Everybody wants to say, well, my denomination doesn't believe this and believe that. Well, everybody wants to just take the ordinary, easy course of the beaten path. Listen, beaten paths and beaten roads are for beaten souls. With timeless tread, they move ahead to dwell among the dead. While children of faith will set their sails o'er uncharted seas, the children of faith will challenge men and Satan's wrath, while the beaten soul will compromise and tread the beaten path. The child of faith climbs unscaled walls and sails uncharted seas. They dare to cross convention's bounds to set the captives free. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. You see, we need to get things straight. You're not fighting Pentecostalism. You're not withstanding charismatics. You are standing in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, believers shall speak with new tongues. He is the one who baptized them in the Holy Ghost. You know, God said, J.B. Phillips wrote about how far we had drifted from the biblical standard. That Anglican was right. God said, in the last days, I will restore. God loves all people in all denominations, but we have built walls around our denomination of people in order to protect some truth. God doesn't want you to be a walled city. He wants you to be a river flowing out to a world in need. And you know, God said, I will restore that which the cankerworm and the palmer worm and the caterpillar and the locust have eaten. And I'll tell you, the cankerworm and the palmer worm and the caterpillar and the locust have eaten away the miracles, eaten away the divine healing, eaten away the speaking in tongues, eaten away the supernatural. And the church has become not much more than a social club meeting, denying the supernatural. God needs to restore. I tell you, he's marching among his church today. I hear his stately step. I hear the rustle of his garments as he marches in his church. Do you know, across the world, over between 102 million people of all denominations have received the baptism in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. He is restoring. Yeah. Shout, restore.
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 I remind you that you will not have to stand at the judgment bar of your denomination. You will not have to stand at the judgment bar of Dr. So-and-so. You will have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is on the move. Witches are on the move. Supernatural things are happening in the evil world by demon powers. What are we going to do? Come up and say, well, would you please join my church? After all, come join our nice, dignified church. You can find business here and get some contacts here. That's a good place to do that. Oh, my God, in heaven, let us be shaken by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There are people in this town who do not want to associate with me because I speak in tongues. That's all right. And they draw a circle and shut me out. I draw a circle and shut them in. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when the first charismatic revival first started out, they had an article in the Saturday Evening Post about speaking in tongues. It was a shock to the world to hear, you know, about speaking in tongues in the modern day church. And so they asked me and another businessman with me, to meet with two of the major preachers in this town on television and discuss this. And so these mighty, eloquent, educated men sat with this popcorn salesman, a dropout of high school. And I mean to tell you, as time went on, they tore us to pieces. Every time I opened my mouth, wham. Every time I said something, wham. I mean, it looked like we were going out under the mat. And they made a mistake. One of those denominational preachers said, "Well, Pastor Osteen, don't you speak in these tongues?" I said, "I do." He said, "Do you reckon you could speak in them now?" I said, "I reckon I can." And I want to tell you, the only time I ever felt it, I felt honey right in the pit of my stomach. And I grabbed their hands. I said, "Let's pray." And I prayed a little bit in English, and that honeypot began to talk. And I began to pray in other tongues, and prayed in other tongues, and I prayed in other tongues, and I prayed in other tongues, and I prayed in other tongues, right on television. And when I got through and we dropped hands, one of the mean preachers looked at me and said, "That sky just had a snarl. That didn't do me a bit of good." I smiled and said, "Wasn't supposed to help you, brother. Supposed to edify me, and I feel wonderful. Hallelujah." Amen. Amen. Did you know we had to hire somebody to take care of our phone calls? So many called, you know, during the night about that. I mean, people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. They're weary of a form of godliness. Parents are tired of their children being taken over by the devil. They're tired of being their children being led out into the occult. They want the power of the living God. Look at the thousands of people here. Their lives have been revolutionized. They've come from all denominations and some from no church at all. They have received the baptism in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. It's literally revolutionized their life. Shall we deny God's people His power? Shall we protect our pride and deny the Holy Ghost? This speaking in tongues, who's to blame?
Jesus.
Who's to blame?
Jesus.
Who's to blame?
Jesus.
Then if Jesus is to blame, be careful what you say about it. Oh, listen, folks, I know you preachers may be fired from your church. I know you may have to leave your church, but let me tell you something. I'd rather walk barefooted and ragged throughout life and have the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon my life than to have all the prestige that anybody could give me. Oh, how we need to search ourselves. We need the power of God. I'm going to be talking in the next 3 services about this manifestation of speaking in tongues. That comes when Jesus baptizes you in the Holy Ghost. All Christians have the Holy Ghost in regeneration, but you need the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And when that happens, then you begin to speak in other tongues. Your spirit is liberated to worship and praise God. God is a spirit. I am a spirit. You're a spirit. And when you get this language, it's your spirit talking spirit to God. You know, they say speaking in tongues is of the devil. Well, the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, they spake with tongues and magnified God. We need to recognize that God is wanting to reinvigorate His church. And the doorway to the supernatural is this experience where you get the speaking in other tongues. Now, you know, many of you across the world may not be understanding what I'm talking about, but before you ever have the experience I'm explaining today of worshiping God spirit to spirit, you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You see, when He comes into your heart, He gives you eternal life. He gives you peace. He washes away your sin. You're washed in the blood of Jesus, and you're made worthy then to receive the infilling and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. See, many of you say, well, I don't believe I could live for God. I don't have the power. See, the Holy Ghost is the power. So the first step is to open your heart and let Jesus come in. Pray this prayer after me, please. Say, oh, God, I know I'm a sinner. God, you know how I've lived. I believe you love me, God. The Bible says you love me, and I want you to be my Father, and I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I believe Jesus died for me and rose again for me. Jesus, here I am. I give up. I surrender. I open my heart to you. Come in, Lord Jesus, and save me and give me eternal life and wash away my sins. And then, Jesus, baptize me in the Holy Ghost and give me a new language to praise you with. I thank you, Jesus. This is the day that I have given my heart to you.